Madhuji, I'll hand over this call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Anjana Gopika Madhuji. All glories to your beautiful service. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagati Neshtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajana Bhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Continuing on with the transcendental nectarian mellows of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja, we will continue with text 4 today. Is very beautifully describing some of the attributes of Srimati Radharani's lotus moon-like face. Before we go into that, I wanted to read one particular excerpt from a conversation by Srila Prabhupada in October 1973, where Srila Prabhupada is, you know, glorifying the position of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada is saying that I am very much indebted to my father, for he took care of me in such a way that I become perfectly Krishna conscious. My father used to receive many saintly persons at our home, and to every one of them he used to say, "Kindly bless my son so that he may become a servant of Srimati Radharani." That was his only ambition. We can see how Srimati Radharani, you know, is specially cast her, you know, sidelong glance upon Srila Prabhupada. That only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, because Srila Prabhupada is such a dear servitor of Srimati Radharani. And how Srila Prabhupada's father, he used to ask this benediction to each and every one of the saintly persons who would visit the house of Gaur Mohan Day, Srila Prabhupada's father. And he would ask everyone to bless Srila Prabhupada, that may my Abhay become a devotee and a servant of Srimati Radharani. You know, he would not say, may my son become a devotee of Krishna. He would say, may my son become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada revealed it many, many times in different occasions that that is the secret to our success in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, we can understand that everyone, Srila Prabhupada says this in one of his lectures in 1968, Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, everyone in this world is trying to love Krishna, even us. We are chanting Hare Krishna so that we can love Krishna. But Krishna himself is trying to love somebody else. So how great that personality must be. So Prabhupada saying, just try to understand, everyone in this whole world, the whole universe, all living entities, they're all trying to love Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, Prema Pramartha Mahan. And Rupa Goswami described that you are distributing Krishna Prema, that Mahaprabhu is distributing Krishna Prema. So Krishna Prema is so valuable. But Krishna is just after Srimati Radharani. So imagine, what is the position of Srimati Radharani? What is the greatness of Srimati Radharani? And we need to be able to be in this kind of a mood that Srimati Radharani, you know, Krishna is of course known as Madan Mohan, but Srimati Radharani is known as Madana Mohana Mohini. That she is the one who even attracts, the one who attracts the mind of Cupid. Madan Mohan Mohini. So with this mood, seeking the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, seeking the blessings of our Guru Vargas, we try to understand these esoteric subject matters. Otherwise, we are definitely not qualified to even be discussing such esoteric subject matters as, you know, the mood and the complexion and the beauty and the qualities and the transcendental attributes of Srimati Radharani. We are just not qualified. But simply by trying to repeat some of the intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, we hope that, you know, by being pleased with our sincere efforts, that Srimati Radharani will definitely cast her merciful lifelong glance upon us. So with this mood, I'd like to first start with one very sweet pastime that I recently heard from a lecture of His Holiness Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj. So Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj is explaining the optimum position of Srimati Radharani, that what is her special position. And to explain that, Radha Govinda Maharaj, he actually talks about one very beautiful pastime of Krishna, Arjuna, and Srimati Radharani. You know, it's a very rare combination, but this is a very sweet pastime, which I had heard before, but when I heard it from Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, it was much more nectarian. So I just wanted to share with all of you. So, you know, Maharaj goes on to explain that, you know, we all know that what a great friend, you know, Arjuna was to Krishna. You know, he was such a great friend, such a close friend of Krishna's, that they would actually lay down on the same bed. And, you know, they would, you know, eat together, they would sleep together. You know, Arjuna would always keep his hand on Krishna's shoulders. And this was the relationship that Arjuna shared with Krishna. Very intimate, very, very beautiful. And we all know that what position Krishna took during the battle of Mahabharata for Arjuna. He took the most humble position of being Arjuna's charioteer. So we can understand that how great a position that Arjuna has shared, a relationship that Arjuna shared with Krishna. And Maharaj went on to explain that, you know, one day that there's this very beautiful pastime that is narrated in the Padma Purana, and he said that Arjuna one day asked Krishna, that, "Hey Krishna, I want to understand the love of Vrindavan. I want to understand the love that you feel for the gopis, and I want to understand the mercy of Srimati Radharani." So Keshava, he told Arjuna that this is an impossible subject to discuss, and it is extremely confidential, and the only way that you can actually understand is only when you live it. So then Arjuna, you know, was confused. Arjuna said, "But Kanha, I am your best friend. You know, there's no secrets amongst friends. You know, Sakya Ras is such a rasa that even what we don't tell our parents, we tell our friends." So Arjuna knew all of Krishna's secrets, but still Arjuna was told by Krishna that it's just too confidential. And Arjuna was told that you cannot understand what is the love of the gopis, what is Srimati Radharani's love, what is, you know, Braja Dham's love. You can only understand it only if you experience it. So then Krishna told Arjuna that you go to Mother Parvati and you go and beg to her that she will give you the way that you can experience this, you know, love of Vrindavan, the love of the gopis. So being ordered by Krishna, Arjuna went to Goddess Parvati. And Goddess Parvati, the Param Vaishnavi, who is also Katyayani Devi, she actually, when, you know, Arjuna approached her, Katyayani Devi was very pleased. And, you know, when Arjuna said that, "I've been told by Krishna to come to you," so then Katyayani Devi gave Arjuna a very beautiful mantra to chant, and he was sent by Parvati Devi to Vrindavan to a very beautiful sarovar called Mansarovar. Mansarovar. And then she told Arjuna that you go and take a bath in Mansarovar and the magic will happen. So having faith in the words of Parvati Devi, of Katyayani Devi, Arjuna was transported to Vrindavan, to Sri Braja Dham, and he took bath in the Mansarovar. As soon as he came out of Mansarovar, he saw that there was one gopi who was standing over there. And when Arjuna took the dip and when he came out, he was no longer a he. He had become a gopi. He had a female body. And he had completely forgotten what his previous identity was. He has forgotten that he had, like a, you know, he had a memory loss, that he forgot that he was Arjuna. And that gopi said that you are no longer, your name is Arjuna, because the first thing when, you know, Arjuna came out, he said, who am I? You know, I forgot who am I? And then this gopi said, well, you are the gopi named Arjuna. So then this gopi took this Arjuna gopi to the other assembly of, you know, gopis, and they said, oh, who is this new gopi? All the gopis were asking, who is this new beautiful gopi who has just come amongst us? And Arjuna very, very shyly was saying that, oh, my name is Arjuna. And then they all brought Arjuna gopi in the divine presence of, you know, Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radha Thakurani. So when Arjuna came presence of Srimati Radharani. At that time, she could see the beauty and the splendor of Goddess Radharani, and she was just completely, you know, mesmerized that, you know, how beautiful Srimati Radharani is. And she felt, Arjuna Gopi felt, that the mercy, the compassion, the love of Srimati Radharani is so, you know, super excellent, you know, just by being in the presence of Srimati Radharani, Arjuna Gopi could realize all of these transcendental attributes of Srimati Radharani, and she surrendered at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And then Srimati Radharani picked up Arjuna Gopi and took her to the presence of Krishna, and she presented to Krishna this beautiful gopi, Arjuna gopi. And it is said that Krishna then sported in the forest of Vrindavan along with Arjuna gopi. And then Srimati Radharani again said that you can go back to Mansarovar and take your bath again, and then you will recollect who you were in your previous body. So then Arjuna came back to the Mansarovar, took her bath, and then she came out as Arjuna back again. But this time, she did not have a memory loss. I mean, he did not have a memory loss. And he remembered that he was Arjuna, and how he got the mercy of Srimati Radharani as Arjuna Gopi. And he was able to, you know, the entire mercy and the love and the attributes of Brajadham and Srimati Radharani was actually revealed to Arjuna Gopi. There's a very sweet pastime that it is actually not that easy for us to just, you know, if we just say that, okay, we want to discuss about, you know, the transcendental attributes and qualities of Srimati Radharani, that it is just that easy to talk about it from a book or just read about it from a book. We need to have the mercy of our Guru Vargas, just like how Arjuna got the mercy of Katyayani Devi, Param Vaishnavi, and by that mercy, she gave Arjuna the mantras, and then he went around, you know, getting the mercy of the Dham. The Dham was revealed to Arjuna Gopi. So this is something very, very important, a very important lesson to learn, that when we are trying to discuss these esoteric subject matters, that we need to be, it is a prerequisite and it is extremely essential for us to be in the right consciousness, in the right mood, that we are just repeating these pastimes and we are begging at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, that they give us the right understanding by which we can, you know, accept these pastimes in the proper consciousness and not have any kind of, you know, any other kind of interpretations whatsoever. So with that mood, we'll just discuss this particular verse that we just read, text 4 of Sri Radha Kripakataksha Stavaraja. And here in this particular verse, Lord Shiva is glorifying the beautiful form of Srimati Radharani and her golden, lightning-like complexion. A champaka flower. There are many reasons why Lord Shiva is comparing the complexion or the body of Srimati Radharani as a champaka flower. One of the reasons that he is doing this is because of the complexion of the champaka flower. It is golden in color, and it has a tinge of gold and white. So that is how Srimati Radharani's complexion is. It is so, you know, Radharani is so fair. She's like molten gold complexion. And she's not just golden, but her color is just like the lightning also. Because she shines, she's radiant, she's vibrant. You know, when Srimati Radharani passes by from anybody, it's like lightning passing by. You know, you can't see her in the eye unless you are having, premanjana shurita bhakti vilochanena. Only when our eyes are salved with the love of Krishna, only then we will be able to see the form of Srimati Radharani. She is extremely bright, extremely, shining like the lightning, very, very radiant, very vibrant. So that is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Shiva goes on to explain that what is the beauty of Srimati Radharani's lotus-like face. And he's saying that it eclipses, her lotus face eclipses millions of autumn moons. Now it is said that the moon is in its highest splendor in the autumn season. And in the winter season, the moon also shivers a little bit, it is explained very beautifully. But in the autumn season, you know, moon actually is the source in which the moon is the one that nourishes the vegetables, the taste that we get in vegetables, the taste that we get in fruits, that taste is coming because of the radiance that is coming from the moon. You know, the moon actually, by its cooling, beautiful rays, is giving transcendental taste in all fruits and vegetables. We can wonder, you know, how, you know, whether it be bhindi or whether it is potato, whether it's cauliflower, how each and every one of these vegetables, or if you consider fruits, how each and every one of them have a unique flavor, how each and every one of them have a unique taste. That taste in vegetables and fruits is coming because of the moon, the rays that is coming from the moon. It is said that the sun gives its rays so that vegetables and fruits can grow. Their growing power comes from the sun, and the taste in those fruits and vegetables comes from the moon. The fragrance in the flowers comes from the moon. So these subtle qualities, you know, sun gives gross qualities like, you know, growth, but the moon gives very much subtle qualities like taste and fragrance. So that is something very special, and that is why the limbs, and especially the face of Srimati Radharani, and even Krishna, is compared to the moon. You know, even we can see that how, even after their names, their lordships have kept Chandra, like we see Krishna Chandra, Sri Rama Chandra. You know, why? Because the moon is the one who, you know, is giving nourishment. But from where does the moon receive nourishment? The moon is receiving nourishment from Rama, from Krishna. So the moon is receiving his nourishment from Krishna and transferring that nourishment to all the required living entities in this world. So that is how it is all working. And therefore, in the autumn, the moon is considered to be in its most, you know, topmost splendor, actually. So that is why Lord Shiva is saying that Srimati Radharani's lotus-like face, her moon-like face, eclipses millions of autumn moons. Not just one autumn moon, but millions and millions of autumn moons are eclipsed by one face of Srimati Radharani. That much, can we imagine that how bright, how cooling, how pleasing is the moon-like face of Srimati Radharani? We can imagine how soothing it is to the heart. That, you know, when we see the moon, when we see the one full moon, when we see in the sky, how pleasing it is to the heart. You know, we feel like staring at the moon. Why? Because it is very soothing to the heart. Because it also nourishes us as living entities. So when we look at Srimati Radharani's moon-like face, we should always remember that her face is, you know, eclipsing millions and millions of full moons in the month of autumn. And how much more, you know, pleasing Radharani's moon-like face is to our heart. So with that mood, we should take darshan of the moon-like face of Srimati Radharani. Then Lord Shiva goes on to explain that what is the nature of the eyes of Srimati Radharani. He is comparing the eyes of Srimati Radharani to be like those of Chakora Shavalochane, like those of the Chakora birds. And there's a very beautiful analogy to this. You know, we all know the Chakora bird analogy is given by Srila Prabhupada in many, many occasions. In many of his purports, Srila Prabhupada talks about the Chakora bird analogy. And we know that the Chakora bird actually does not drink any water. However high, you know, the Chakora bird actually subsists only on fresh rain water. And if that rain water touches the ground, the Chakora bird will never drink that water. It will go thirsty for months and months together. So the Chakora bird, actually, it is said that it flies very, very high because it tries to always go above the sun, you know, trying to go above the sun, because when there is no sun, she feels that there will be a cloud which is filled with water, a fresh rain cloud. So it tries to enter and penetrate into the rain cloud so that it can drink water directly from the rain cloud itself. So the Chakora bird always flies very, very high, and when the rain starts pouring, it just opens its beak, its tiny little beak, and it just drinks as much as water as it can. And then it will go thirsty again for the next rain to come. So that is the quality of a Chakora bird, that it is very, very chaste to drinking water only from a fresh rain cloud. So just like how the Chakora bird is only, always looking at a fresh rain cloud and drinking water only from a fresh rain cloud, similarly, Srimati Radharani's eyes, the object of her vision, is only the Meghavarna Shamasundara. That she only drinks the nectar from the cloud, the fresh rain cloud like Shamasundara. You know, Krishna, he is also compared to the fresh rain cloud. You know, his complexion is like the fresh rain cloud, Neeli Megha Shyama. So Krishna is compared to this fresh rain cloud, and Srimati Radharani, she is only attracted to Krishna. So therefore, her Chakora bird-like eyes are always looking for Krishna, and they only drink the nectar when it comes from Krishna. She only makes Krishna the object of her vision. So this is why here Lord Shiva is describing Srimati Radharani's eyes like little young Chakora birds. And, you know, when we understand that that Krishna, you know, of course, Krishna's eyes and, you know, even Srimati, even Sri Krishna's eyes are always looking for Krishna, always looking for Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani's eyes are always looking for Krishna. So when they meet at that time, they actually, you know, it's like both of them are drinking the nectar of each other's beauty. So that is why it is described here by Lord Shiva that it's not just Chakora birds, but it is young, restless Chakora birds. The reason why it is young, restless Chakora birds is because that it is restless. Srimati Radharani's eyes are restless because they're always searching for Krishna. And she doesn't like to see anything other than Krishna. So when she's not seeing Krishna, her lotus-like eyes are always searching here and there, here and there. You know, where can I see Krishna? Where can I see Krishna? So in this way, we can understand that why Lord Shiva is comparing Srimati Radharani's eyes to be like those of a young Chakora bird. And then Lord Shiva is saying, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me, O Srimati Radharani? So just like this young Chakora bird, you are making the object of your vision to be Shama Sundara, O Radhe. So you please cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me. Just like how Srimati Radharani took Arjuniya Gopi and presented her to Krishna. And then Krishna frolicked in the forest with Arjuniya Gopi only when she was presented by Srimati Radharani. So it is only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani that we can get the blessings to be in the presence of Krishna. So Radharani is the one who recommends us to Krishna. That is why even in the Mahamantra we chant Hare Krishna. We say, we take the name of Srimati Radharani first, that we are seeking her blessings because she is mercy, love, compassion personified. And when we can become the, you know, proper recipients of the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then we can, you know, even think of getting the mercy of Krishna. And the way we can get the mercy of Srimati Radharani is when we are being properly serving our spiritual masters. Our spiritual masters are direct servitors of Srimati Radharani. So when we are serving the instructions of our spiritual masters, at that time being pleased with our service, the spiritual master recommends us to Srimati Radharani. That is the parampara system. That is why we need the presence of our spiritual master in our lives at every moment. You know, I mean, I don't mean physical presence, but, you know, before we do anything, even just, you know, their Vani presence is what is the most important in our lives, to develop the Vani association of our spiritual masters. So with this, we'll move on to text 5. Of Sri Radha Kripakataksha Stavaraja. Madan Madhati Yavani Pramadanana Mandite Priyaniraga Ranjite Kala Pandite Ananya Dhanya Kunja Raja Kama Keli Kovide Kada Karisha Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. Translation, O young girl intoxicated with passion, O goddess decorated with cheerful, jealous anger. O goddess who passionately love your beloved Krishna. O goddess learned in playful arts. O goddess expert at enjoying amorous pastimes in the kingdom of the peerlessly opulent forest groves of Vrindavan. When will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So very beautifully this particular verse, you know, it is saying, I especially love the word Madon Madati. Madon Madati means mother Unmadati. So, which of course is translated as mother means, you know, just completely, you know, intoxicated with, you know, with so much of love. Srimati Radharani is so much intoxicated with so much of love for Krishna that in her, you know, yovane, she's a very young girl. Srimati Radharani, her age is described to be that of just 15 years young. That is the age of Srimati Radharani. And she is full of the luster of youth. And Srimati Radharani, you know, here, Lord Shiva is actually saying that how she is so expert in playful arts and she is very expert in enjoying amorous pastimes in the kingdom of the forest grove of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the peerlessly opulent forest grove of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Srimati Radharani is very, very expert in, you know, the way she is, you know, she dresses, the way she is so, you know, every part of her body is actually like, every limb of her body is just made for the pleasure of Krishna. You know, it is said that when Krishna was extremely happy, when Krishna is extremely happy, when you take that happiness out of Krishna's body, that happiness manifests as Srimati Radharani. That is Srimati Radharani. So her entire being, her entire existence is for the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. So when you understand this position of Srimati Radharani, it is very easy for us to relate to that, you know, what is the actual, you know, relationship that Srimati Radharani shares with Krishna. You know, in this regard, I was just reading that how, you know, in the month of Kartik, you know, the reason why we say that Kartik month is the most favorite month of Srimati Radharani. And this reason why, the reason why this month of Kartik is so dear to Srimati Radharani is that Radharani loves just one particular pastime of Krishna. I mean, she loves all the pastimes of Krishna, but she perfectly loves one very, very particular pastime of Krishna, which is the Damodar Leela, the Dam Bandhan Leela. That Srimati Radharani is so enamored by this particular pastime of Krishna's that how Krishna, by seeing the love of his dear devotee, Mother Jashoda, that he allows her to bind him with the rope of her love. He becomes bound. He becomes baddha, bhakti baddha. He becomes bound by the love of Jashoda Maya. So this particular pastime is extremely, extremely dear to Srimati Radharani. And, you know, Srila Jiva Goswami also writes that Srimati Radharani, she is actually always performing austerities that with the mood that she just wants to, you know, bind Krishna more and more with her love. And, you know, the reason why she does this, that she cannot even bear to live without Krishna. And it is because of the worship of Srimati Radharani that Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. And I will tell one pastime towards the end today where we can understand that how dear Srimati Radharani is to Krishna and what is the position of Srimati Radharani. And, you know, once actually what happened is that, you know, here actually in this particular verse, Lord Shiva is saying that she is decorated, O goddess, decorated with cheerful, jealous anger. That Srimati Radharani has anger, but it is cheerful. And it is jealous also. So these three, cheerful, jealous, and anger, these are contradictory qualities cannot exist, which cannot exist simultaneously in a person. Isn't it? We cannot even relate to all these three things existing simultaneously and we displaying it simultaneously. It is impossible. But this is completely transcendental. The cheerful, jealous anger that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna, this is completely transcendental, and that is why it is possible for them to coexist simultaneously. So whenever Srimati Radharani would hear the childhood pastime of Mother Yashoda binding baby Krishna, she would always have this desire, oh really, will I be able to ever bind Krishna by my love? Will he ever allow me to bind me by his love? So Srimati Radharani would actually hear this Damodar Leela over and over again. She would keep meditating on this particular pastime just because she wanted to bind Krishna by her love also. And she would think that will Krishna ever be bound by my love the way he got bound by Mother Yashoda's love? So to reciprocate with this beautiful mood of hers, one day, Krishna came late for a rendezvous meeting with Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani had been waiting for hours together. You know, they had actually decided, you know, how the sakhas and the sakhis of Srimati Radharani, you know, in between Nandagram and Barshana, these two places we all know are on little hilltops. Barshana is on a little hilltop and Nandagram is also on a little hilltop. And the hills that Nandagram is on is called as Brahma Parvat. It is explained that Lord Brahma manifested as this particular hill so that Krishna can build his residential palace on top of the hill of Lord Brahma. And Barshana is made on the hill that is manifested by Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva is doing tapasya in that hill which we climb, you know, that is Lord Shiva. That's why we always offer obeisances before climbing any of the hills, because they are devatas personified. So Barshana is Mahadev, Lord Shiva, and Barshana's hill is Lord Shiva, and Nandagram's hill is Lord Brahma. So anyways, these two, you know, were palaces, Nandagram and Barshana, were on hilltops. And, you know, how would Krishna communicate to Srimati Radharani that where they are going to meet that particular day? You know, because we all know during the Ashtakal Leela of Krishna, the eight different times of pastimes during the day of Krishna, when Krishna goes to tend the cows in the forest in the morning hours, at mid-morning session, when we have our mid-morning conference call, so from that time, 10:30 in the morning, Krishna separates from his cowherd friends. And he goes to the designated area to have, you know, mid-morning pastimes with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. So the place where they are going to meet is decided every single day so that there is no waste of time. So the sakhis and the sakhas, the girlfriends and the boyfriends of Krishna, they decide where they are going to meet. And how do they inform each other? The way they do it is from a place called Sanket. That place is there till today, the village of Sanket. It is exactly at the central point from Nandagram and Barshana, in the central point. And from there, they would do different kinds of sounds. They would send different kinds of signals, how they would understand that, okay, this is this particular, you know, forest grove in Govardhan, or this particular place at Radhakund we are going to meet today. So that was the deciding place, the indicating place where they would decide where they're going to meet during the mid-morning pastimes. So one day, Srimati Radharani was waiting at the designated kunja where they were supposed to meet. And Shama Sundara, he was not coming. It was 2-3 hours had passed, and Srimati Radharani was waiting. The sakhis were all waiting, and Krishna was nowhere to be seen. He was not at all on the spot. And then Srimati Radharani was so angry. She was so angry that as soon as, you know, Krishna came, after 2-3 hours, he was so late. When Krishna came running, Srimati Radharani actually looked at Krishna with frowning anger. And she was frowning her eyebrows, and she was so angry at Krishna. And then what she did was, from that forest grove, She just plucked some of the golden vines, and then she made Krishna stand on one of the branches of that kunja, and she tied him up with that golden vine. And this time, Krishna did not trouble Srimati Radharani like the way he had troubled Mother Yashoda. You know, Mother Yashoda, when she was trying to tie Krishna, you know, we all know how every time the rope was, two fingers too short, and she was not able to tie him up. So then, you know, Krishna was waiting for Mother Yashoda to keep trying, to keep trying, to keep trying, to keep endeavoring, and then Krishna gave his mercy. So, but in the case of Srimati Radharani, Krishna is so helplessly attracted, because Srimati Radharani, as I had mentioned many times before, that she never looks directly at Krishna. Because whenever, you know, Krishna and Srimati Radharani's eyes, when they meet each other, Sri Krishna freezes on the spot. He can't do anything. He just freezes. He just is like a statue at that particular time. And this particular time, Srimati Radharani was looking at Krishna directly in the eye with very anger, with loving anger in her eyes. She was looking directly at Krishna, and Krishna had become a statue, so he forgot about two fingers, three fingers. He forgot everything. And without doing anything, Srimati Radharani effortlessly, by the incomparable love, the unalloyed love that she has for Krishna, she was able to bind Krishna immediately. So Krishna did not trouble Srimati Radharani, because he was already a statue frozen by the vision of Srimati Radharani. So like this, her desire to bind Krishna was fulfilled by Krishna himself. And then when she bound him up, she made him stand like this, and then she came in front of him and said, "So, Kanha, why are you late? Why did you come so late?" And this time she had her eyes, you know, she was waiting for a response from Krishna. So she was looking at Krishna's lotus-like bimba fruit lips. So she was not looking at Krishna's eyes at this point. So Krishna, you know, his statue was over, his statue was off. So then he could speak. So when Srimati Radharani was looking at Krishna's lips, and when he spoke, he said, "Radhe, I am so sorry for coming so late, because today we had a festival at home And Mother Jashoda, she wanted to do some rituals with me, and that is why I'm late. I'm so sorry. So as soon as Srimati Radharani heard Krishna's lips going and explaining and giving this reason, she felt so bad and she felt so embarrassed that she immediately unbound Krishna and she untied him and she embraced him and said, I'm so sorry that I bound you up without even asking you why you were late. So because Mother Jashoda kept you, no problem. So then they continued on with their pastime. So like this, Srimati Radharani, her anger is transcendental. You know, even when she expresses her anger, there is so much of love in that anger. She is so, her anger is also having so much of love for Krishna. You know, when we get angry, we break things or we shout at people. But Srimati Radharani, when she has anger, she loves Krishna even more. You know, the love between them increases even more. So that is how we understand the transcendental anger of Srimati Radharani. And then I said that I wanted to conclude today's session by describing one very sweet pastime that I recently heard. And we all know that, Krishna and Srimati Radharani, that they are, they combine together to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know that very well, you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. So Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. So one day what happened is that in the forest, in the beautiful forest grove of Nidhuvan, in Vrindavan, this pastime is actually written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad in his Swapna Vilas. And he says that Srimati Radharani, and Sri Krishna, they were in Nidhivan. In Nidhivan is where the divine couple, they go to rest after the rasa dance. So Srimati Radharani, there's a very beautiful, palace, it's called the Rang Mahal, and it is there in between this forest in Nidhuvan. We can visit it even till today, and the pujaris, they say that Sri Sri Radha and Krishna come till today, they come to rest over here. And every night, they actually leave, fresh pots of water, paan, all shringar items, and they decorate the bed very nicely. They do all of that, and then they leave. As soon as it is sundown, they all leave. Even the monkeys, they also leave. The birds, they also leave. And then, Radha and Krishna come, they rest, they have their pastimes over there. And when the pujari opens the door in the morning, we can see till today that, the water pots are used up. The bed looks as if somebody has slept and gone out from there. The tambula, the paan, everything is eaten up. And then the shringar items are all over. So, it is explained that Srimati Radharani and Krishna come there till today to enjoy their amorous pastimes. It's very special. So in this forest of Nidhivan, in the Rang Mahal, one night, Srimati Radharani, she actually had a dream. And she woke up in the middle of the night and she said to Krishna, Krishna, I have to tell you a dream that I just saw. And, but this dream was something very, very special that, in your every incarnation, when you come in different ways, it is special. But this particular form of yours was very, very, very special, that it was golden in color. And it was more beautiful than any other form of yours. This form was dancing ecstatically on the banks of the river Ganges, and this river looked exactly like Jamuna, but she was saffron in color, the Ganges. And the forest behind where you were, it looked just like Vrindavan. And I saw that all around, you know, this particular golden form, surrounding him, there were thousands and thousands of people chanting and dancing. And you had your, you know, this form of yours had the your arms raised, and your arms were so long, it was reaching below your knees. It was coming up to your knees. Extremely amazing form. And I realized that, you know, I just want to know, can you tell me more details about this particular form of yours? So then Krishna heard this smilingly, and he lifted his Kaustubha jewel, it is explained, his Kaustubha money, and he told Srimati Radharani to look inside the Kaustubha money. And, you know, just like how, you know, people with special powers, they look into the crystal ball, they can see everything. So Srimati Radharani looked into Krishna's Kaustubha money, and she could see that same pastime. And then Srimati Radharani said that now I understand that yes, both of us are going to combine, and we are going to come in Kali Yuga, and we will be spreading the chanting of the congregational chanting of our own holy names. And Srimati Radharani said at that time to Krishna that, Krishna, you are the creator. You know, you create everything, you know, through Lord Brahma. But you are the creator. You have made everything, the spiritual world, the material world. You are the ultimate creator. But this particular place, I want your permission that I will build this for you. I will create this particular place where we are going to come, and this place will be called as Gupta Vrindavan or the secret Vrindavan. And from here, I will not allow you to go anywhere. So then Srimati Radharani, hearing these beautiful words of Srimati Radharani, Krishna actually promised Radharani that yes, Sri Radhe, you can create this particular forest grove, and I promise you that I will never leave. So that also manifested in a very beautiful way, that one day when Srimati Radharani was waiting for Krishna, Krishna was actually enjoying with another gopi, and Srimati Radharani found out about it, and she was very hurt. She was very angry. You know, again, her transcendental anger came into being. And then in that transcendental anger, as I mentioned before, that when we have anger, we break things. But Srimati Radharani, in her transcendental anger, she created an entire beautiful forest grove. She created such a place where, you know, there were, it was shaped like a lotus. It had this lotus, she just created this lotus. It had 8 petals and 1 central whorl. So, and then she just took that in her lotus hand and she placed it in the river. And that river, you know, was Mother Ganges, and that lotus became 9 different islands. It manifested and it came to be known as Navadvipa. The Navadvipa is exactly in the shape of a lotus in these 9 islands. And Srimati Radharani said, Krishna, I am waiting for you here in Navadvip. And this is the only place that Srimati Radharani has created. And she went there into that forest grove and she said that, Krishna, I'm waiting for you over here. And as soon as Krishna heard that from Srimati Radharani, he came running. He just left everything he was doing and he came running to Srimati Radharani in that forest grove of Navadvipa. And he came there and both of them combined to become the golden form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that place was never left by Krishna. He could never leave it because every other place was created by Krishna. But this is the place that Srimati Radharani created. And therefore Krishna, even if he tried, he could not leave because he became bound by the divine love of Srimati Radharani. So with this, we'll end here today. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Bataji. Very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much for taking us to Vrindavan and Vrindavan pastimes. Very nice. Mataji, I like the point even at the beginning you said Srila Prabhupada's father, he was praying to, asking mercy from all the sadhus that he said to become the devotee of Radharani. So that way we should become the devotee of Radharani, not the Krishna. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. What a wonderful class, Mataji. So many pastimes you have mentioned. Amazing. So, Mataji, these pastimes are written somewhere, Mataji, like one Maharaj, he mentioned, I forgot the name, who mentioned those stories. About the Krishna and
Arjuna. Yes, Radha Rama Maharaj, when he was telling that pastime, he said that it the source is Padma Purana. And the other pastimes I'm getting from the book called Ananda Vrindavan Champu. There is a book called Krishna Nika Kaumudi. Then there is the book called Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. There is Radhakund Mahima Madhuri. So these four books are the basis for all the stories. And the first two books that I mentioned. They are written by Srila Kavi Karnapura and translation and commentary by Anu Maharaj and Mahanidhi.
Thank you, Mataji. So why this Gupta Vrindavan? Is there a meaning to that Gupta Vrindavan there? I mean, is it some confidential thing? Or how do I interpret that, Mataji?
Yes, very nice question, Prabhu. The reason why it is said Gupta Vrindavan is that because Navadvip is none different than Vrindavan. If you read the book Navadvip Mahima Madhuri, there's a very nice book glorifying Navadvip Dham. And there it is clearly mentioned that anyone who is making any distinction between Vrindavan and Navadvip is making offense. So we should be understanding that Navadvip is non-different from Vrindavan. And whatever is present in Vrindavan is actually manifested even in Navadvip. We have everything in Navadvip. Giriraj is there. There is Radhakund, Shamkund, everything, you know, Nandagram, Barshana. All these places are existing in Mayapur Dham. And actually not just Vrindavan Dham, but all dhams manifesting in Navadvip Dham. So we need to understand that, and that's the reason why this place is called as Gupta Vrindavan, because it is a secret, but it is a secret for everyone, you know. It is an open secret, so to speak. So therefore it is called as Gupta Vrindavan, because Vrindavan and Navadvip are non-different in that sense. That's why.
Thank you, Mataji. Very wonderful. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
For sharing wonderfully, you established one point very wonderfully about the service, the aspiration for Radharani's service. It was wonderful, and you covered many nectarian wonderful things. But Prishadam Saswati Thakur says that Radharani is the only renderer of service to Krishna. And everyone else has to accept and acknowledge the subservience to Radharani. So, same thing you established, so it's very wonderful to hear. Mataji, one more question. I'm just clearing my other understanding. You mentioned Lord Shiva on Balsana and Lord Brahma on the Nandgaon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe out of your absorption, it's possible that they may have been exchanged by you.
Sorry, come again, Prabhu. Can you repeat that again?
The Balsana Dham is the parvat for Lord Brahma, and the Nandgaon for Lord Shiva, Nandishwar Mahadev. Balsana is connected to Lord Brahma.
Okay, so I mixed it up. Okay. Thank you for clearing that.
Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for clearing that out, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Kanasala Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
I just wanted to just that reflect on whatever you call it, that I said we should become devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we get the mercy of both Radharani and Krishna. This Gauranga Mahaprabhu is combined form of both. And it's very merciful. So, can you comment on this, please? Thank you.
Yes. Only, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be ever, actually we will be able to only get the mercy of Srimati Radharani only by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, mercy of Radha Krishna. It's not possible without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why we chant the Panchatattva Mantra before we chant Hare Krishna Mantra. That only by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is the one who gave Radha and Krishna to us, the one who gave the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to us. If we can just worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is equivalent to worshipping Krishna. So for us in this fallen age of Kali, Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is actually our only hope. And we have no other shelter, apart from Mahaprabhu. And he is the one who opened the doors of Goloka Vrindavan. Because even when Krishna came in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna did not open the doors of Goloka Vrindavan. He did not. He kept it closed behind him. But Mahaprabhu flung the door open when Mahaprabhu came. And he just opened the doors to Goloka Vrindavan. So that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And so Mahaprabhu is our only shelter. Lord Chaitanya is our only shelter.
Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful.
Mataji, can I share one angle to this question?
Yes, please.
Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to give us the highest. So in the opulent Vaikuntha, even in Dwarka, how the sweetness of Golok, Vrindavan, Gokul is a special gift of Mahaprabhu. So in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Kaumudiki Mataji asked this question. Mataji, you read this section in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhya Leela, 8th chapter, 201-215. In that, the specific gifts of Mahaprabhu, and how, if we aspire for the highest which Mahaprabhu wants to give, then this is the process which Mataji established today. Of course, Krishna's mercy is there. Everything is Krishna's mercy. But to receive the highest mercy, we have to go through the Radharani and Gopi to attain that trail. Even in Golok, apart from Sakya Bhav and Vatsalya and Dasya, but to attain the supreme mercy, the process is to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the supreme Gopi. And all other Gopis are her expansion, so that's why we follow this exclusive path. And the message given by our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, so mercifully brought to us utterly unqualified the most sublime thing to aspire up. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I have one question too. Mataji, you mentioned that in the Navadvi Gupta Vrindavan, Krishna never leaves. Isn't that the case with Vrindavan also? I mean, what is special? Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for asking that question, Prabhu. Yes, you know, the reason, just like how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and there are many quotations on that from different Puranas, from different, you know, even in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentions that it is because of the love of Srimati Radharani that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And that is the same case even in Navadvip Dham, that because that Dham is manifested by Srimati Radharani herself, therefore Krishna never leaves that Dham also. You know, he never leaves from there. And, you know, so that's the reason that these dhams are actually identical in that sense. And, you know, that's why Krishna never leaves Navadvip Dham also, because it is personally made by Srimati Radharani.
Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Any more questions?
Mataji, regarding leaving Vrindavan, many devotees ask this question, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that Krishna does leave Vrindavan, correct? So leaving Vrindavan and not leaving Vrindavan, sometimes they are very much like contradictory to each other. But in Krishna's case, he can simultaneously leave apparently and not leave, you know. So that way we can adjust and we don't have to worry about too much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Father, you are very inspiring the way you sing, and keep it up for all of us.
We always seek your blessings, Prabhuji. Thank you.
It's a real feast for the soul. Words cannot describe. One has to. So you must be like preparing your whole time before you come here, meditating and how you will present. So it's a lot of effort. I can see that, and thank you.
We always seek your blessing so we can continue. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. All right, if there's no more questions, can we end here? Shamagori Mataji?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. I think Linda will become up here today. So. We are you to think like Prabhuji Ramara said, you know, you speak very nicely, so we would like to hear it one more time.
Do you want me to sing Radha Kata? Mataji, sorry, I couldn't hear you. You want me to sing Radha Kataksha?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Nanayandra Vrinda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilasini Bhajendra Bhanu Nandani ब्रजेन्द्र शूनु संगते कदा करिष्य सिंह माम कृपा कटाक्ष भजनम। हरे कृष्ण श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन वर्तमान गुरु वृंद की जय। गौर भक्त वृंद की जय।
सो मच माताजी।
हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू फॉर द अपॉर्चुनिटी माताजी। ऑलवेज ग्रेटफुल टू यू।
थैंक यू माताजी।
हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू।